Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Kerwinsville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.kerwinsvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
You know, we've been looking at this whole issue of how you and I can be justified. That we are justified by our faith. Because you notice before in chapters 1 through 3, the whole issue is that really all of us have a problem. And that problem is that we need Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, we're going to hell. Now the problem is that sometimes we think then that we can do something for our salvation. And what we're going to see is, especially today, is that the Apostle Paul is going to lay down some teaching for us, some thinking through the example of Abraham, that you and I can't do anything for our salvation. We can't do anything to be justified. So let's notice with me verses 1 through 17 of chapter 4. What then shall we say, that Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of man, to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith is accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness may be imputed to them. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in steps of faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise which he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith would be made void, and the promise be of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gave his life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. What we're going to see here, we're going to look actually in the next 2 weeks here, we're going to look at how you and I can be justified. How you and I can stand before God and be justified before Him. So today we're going to look at three things, and then next week we're going to finish it up. The three things that we're going to look at today is that you and I cannot be justified by three different actions. Number one, we can't be justified by our works. You can't be justified by your religious acts. And then you can't be justified by keeping the law. See, basically, all of humanity is trying to justify itself before God by doing one of those three things. And so this week we're going to look at that you can't be justified by those things. So as you're trying to figure out how can I be justified before God, it's not by those three things. And we're going to look at each one of those things in particular here in a moment. What we're then going to do is next week we're going to see exactly what Paul is saying, how you and I can be justified. Now he's going to give us a foreshadowing of that through this verse here, and that is the issue of faith. So let's look for a moment then about how we can be justified, and notice that there are three things that we are not justified by. First of all, it's not by works. Not by works. Verses 1 to 8 tells us it's not by works. So two things I want you to see here. First of all, look with me at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? The flesh there means according to the deeds of his flesh, to the deeds of his body. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about and not before God. So the first thing I want you to notice is it's not by your works. Why? Because if it was by your works, it would be the basis for boasting. If your good deeds, what we're talking about is the issue of your good deeds versus your bad deeds. If it was an issue of your good deeds, then it would be a basis for boasting on your part. You could stand before God and say to God, God, I should be allowed into your kingdom because of all these great things I did. Because I'm just an all-around good guy. And so it's not by works, because the fact of the matter is that nobody can stand before God and boast. But see, that's the concept of our world today. But what Paul's trying to tell us is, if there was ever a person that could boast before God, it was Abraham, but he didn't. Abraham wasn't justified by his works. Because if he was justified by his works, it would be a basis for boasting. See, you and I have nothing to boast about, do we? It's not by our works. He goes on then and tells us then in verse 4, look with me at verse 3 and 4, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, he's asking a question to all, telling us a statement here, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. The second thing I want you to notice, that why it's not by our works, is this. Our works indebt us to God. See, if you think, a lot of people are out there, they think that they're going to get into heaven because of what? That their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. You ever met people like that? Well, I'm not an axe murderer. I'm not a child molester. I'm not doing all these things. Therefore, I'm okay with God. I even spend time with my aunt that I don't like. You laugh, but you've met people like that, don't you? They're just hoping that the aunt puts them in the will. That's the true motive, right? So here they are, they're doing all of these good works, and they're thinking that their good works are going to earn their way into what? Heaven, into God's grace. But notice what he says here. Notice what verse 4 says. Read it again. Now to him who works, now to him who's doing these good works, who thinks he's doing all the right things, the wages, what? Are not counted as grace. They're not counted for mercy. What does it say? But as a debt. What's he meaning here? What he's trying to get us to understand is it doesn't matter how much good stuff you do, your bad stuff is even far more. You know what I mean? I'll give you an example that everybody can relate to. You take a guy who decides to be generous one Christmas, and so he's got a brand new credit card, and he maxes it out. He goes and he buys all of his family, all of his friends' gifts, and so he maxes it out at the $2,000 limit. And then he decides to pay it off, a minimum payment, from there on out. 32 years later, he's still paying it off. That's fact. So his good on-time performance, he pays his payment right on time, every time. 32 late years later, he's still paying for it. He's still paying for it. What he wants us to understand is that, yeah, you're doing all this good stuff. You're staying with your aunt. You're a nice guy or gal. But the debt of all the stuff you've done wrong is even bigger. It's huge. And you keep adding to it. What do you mean keep adding to it? Every attitude. Every attitude. You can leave here, be in a great mood. All of a sudden, something happens, you've got an attitude. Maybe the waitress at Pizza Hut isn't refilling your drink as quick as it should be. Maybe you ask for your cheeseburger at McDonald's. Cheese only, nothing else. And they put pickles and mustard and all that other stuff on it. And then you've got to drive back through the drive-thru again. Or unless you're with your wife and your wife says, forget it, just eat it. You know? And you're building that up. And he's saying that, you know what? Your works indebt us. They indebt you to God. Because they're never enough. Never enough. So it's not by works that you're justified. Not by works. He goes on in verse 9 through 10 and he tells us that it's not by your religious acts. It's not by your religious acts. Look with me at verses 9 and 10 and we'll see our next point here. Does the blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while circumcised. We are not justified by ritual. We're not justified by ritual. You can't stand before God and say, well, God, I went to the Kerwinsville Christian Church. I was faithful. God, I read my Bible every day for 15 minutes to the moment, to the second, because I was looking at the clock the whole time. God, I prayed before every meal. God, I gave. See, it isn't your religious acts. Do you understand what I'm saying? It isn't your religious acts that are going to justify you. See, they thought that because of circumcision, which was a religious act, a sign of separation from the rest of the world, they thought that through circumcision, they were okay with God by doing that religious act. But the fact of the matter is that circumcision had nothing to do with it. Whether or not you show up here has nothing to do with it. See, here's the thing. It's not by your religious action. It's not whether or not you carry a Bible. It's not whether or not you have a Bible on the family table. It's not whether or not you read the daily bread every day faithfully or listen only to Christian music. It's not, in some circles, it's not how you dress or what Bible you carry. That's not going to justify you before God. That doesn't impress God in the least bit. And you say, why do you say that, George? Because remember, when we go to the Gospels, we meet a group of people called the Pharisees. If there was ever a group of religious people who studied the Bible, lived by the Bible, lived beyond what the Bible said, but yet were going to hell in a big way, it was the Pharisees. See, they weren't justified by their religious acts. In fact, of all the groups that Jesus attacked more often than not, it was religious people. You notice something, when you read through the Gospels, it's to sinners that he showed the most grace. But to religious people, he did what? He wasn't really sweet and kind with them. He was to the point, to the issue, to the heart of the matter with them, saying, you guys are trusting in the wrong things. See, you're not justified by ritual. And you know, here's how you know. Here's how you know that if you're justifying yourself by ritual. Watch how you pray. When you're in the midst of a circumstance, you're in the midst of a situation, if your prayers go like this, well, you know, God, I have been going to church. Well, God, I have been giving. See, if those kind of thoughts go through your mind, you may not want to admit them, but if you're thinking in terms of that, well, Lord, I've been faithful to you for 20 years. See, what you're doing is you're admitting then that you are trying to justify yourself before God by your what? By your religious acts, by your rituals. And let me just go ahead and tell you, he's not impressed. He's not impressed. It's not religious acts that justify you. The next thing I want you to see there is we look at that whole issue there that it's not our religious acts that justify us. He wants the men to make the point in 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 and 12. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. What's he saying here? Our acts come out of our faith. Our acts come out of our faith. You need to want to understand what religious acts are. Circumcision was instituted not so that he could be justified by God, but because he was justified by God, because of his faith in God, that God then instituted circumcision through Abraham. What's he saying here? I come to church, I read my Bible, I give, I serve in whatever capacity in the church, not because I want to be justified by God, but because I have been justified by God. Do you understand that? It comes out of a different reasoning. I'm not doing it for, but I'm doing it because. Do you understand the difference? It's not for His love, but because of His love that I do it. I'm here today, hopefully you're here today, because He loved you. You gave because He loved you. He justified you. See, our religious acts are not to gain His attention because we already have His attention. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got God's attention. I'll give you an example. So, I'm sitting down here. I love my kids. They got my attention during the service. What are they doing? What's going on? What's that one doing? What's this one doing? Brad saw me. They had my attention, didn't they? Why? Because they belong to me. So they got my attention. Can I be honest with you? You got God's attention. Why? Because you belong to Him. Now, let me ask you a question. We sometimes fall into this trap. Do I love my kids because they act right? No, I love my kids whether they act right or not. Does God love you because you act right? No, He loves you whether you act right or not. You see the point? Do you grasp the reality of that? See, our religious acts, our giving, our serving, our reading our Bibles, our praying, our coming to church, our coming into community, needs to come from a heart that recognizes He loved me. He accepts me. He's forgiven me. But so oftentimes we fall into the trap, and it's really easy to fall into that I got to do this stuff for God to like me. Don't we fall in? Let's be honest. We fall into that trap, don't we? Everybody nod your head. Yes. We fall into that trap. And He's saying to us, look, guys, it is not by your religious acts. Can I set you free? You want to know why reading the Bible is so boring? Some of you find a Bible reading to be very boring, don't you? You don't have to admit it. Just in your mind say yes or no. Some of you find it to be very boring. Can I tell you why you're finding it to be very boring? Because if you look at the root of why you're doing it, your reason for doing it is all wrong. Your reason for doing it is because somehow you have accepted this lie that God's acceptance of you that day, that moment, is based upon whether or not you read your Bible. So then it just becomes a ritual to make sure that I'm doing the right stuff for Him. And I'll be honest with you, if that's the motivation for why you're reading your Bible, then of course it's going to be boring. Then of course it's going to become a drudgery. Then of course, as you're reading it, you're going to say, okay, Lord, I'll give you 10 minutes today. Okay, God, I did what you asked me to do. Now I need your help today at work. Got this bill that came that I wasn't expecting. That's what we do, don't we? Listen, so if you're looking at it that way, so you say, okay, George, how do I make it not boring? Then how you make it not boring is you realize that reading the Word of God is like God talking to you in a friendship. That you realize that I'm accepted, I'm loved by God, I'm going to spend some time with you today, Jesus, talk to me. And you pray like David and you say, open your Word, Psalm 119, that I may see wonderful things in your Word today. Speak to me today, Lord. Show me what you would have for me today, because I know you love me. Well, I tell you what, you start thinking that way, it's going to change the way you look at the Word of God in your life. It's going to change. Now, let me just say this. It's going to change overnight. Like, for instance, you know, when I started dating Lori, I didn't just start all of a sudden start bubbling all over her that I loved her. If I did that, she would have said, take a hike, buddy. When you're starting cold turkey in a relationship, you got to what? Yeah, you got to build on it. You got to work at it. And some of you don't have a relationship with God as you should. You're just not going to pick it up overnight. But you got to go to Him and say, Lord, talk to me. See, we're not justified by our religious acts. Finally, He tells us in verse 13 through 17 that we're not justified by keeping the law. Look with me now at verse 15. Notice what He says. Listen to what He says. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. So why is not keeping the law going to justify us? Because here's what the basis of the law is. The basis of the law is this. The law brings wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath. What are you talking about? Okay, how many of you have ever heard anybody say,
I try to live by the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments.
How many of you have ever heard somebody say that? As I mentioned to you before, ask them to repeat to you the Ten Commandments. And you'll get crazy stuff like, thou shalt not sleep long in the day or something. You know, I mean, they'll come up with crazy stuff because they don't know. But yet they're trying to keep it. Well, here's the fact. When you look at the Ten Commandments, can I be honest with you? There's not a person here that can keep them. One of them, which is the biggest struggle for us as North Americans, is thou shalt not covet. Well, I don't have a problem with that one, George. Oh, really? Tell me what you're thinking when you're driving down the road this time of year when your air conditioner doesn't work in your car. And you're driving by the dealerships and you see the new models out. Or you notice that your friend's driving a different, newer truck. Do you think we got a problem with that commandment? See, what he's trying to tell us is that the commandments, the law, reveals God's wrath towards us because what? We can't keep it. We can't keep it. And so here's what the next point is. The law reveals our need. The law reveals our need. Here, I'll give you a simple illustration. How many of you know that the speed limit here in town is 25? How many of you drive 25? Don't raise your hand. I know there are a few who do. But for most of us, we just get in the car and what? We just drive. We have no concept of what the speed limit is, except that when we see a sign, then our mind gets pricked to what? Oh, I'm not driving the what? The speed limit. What did that sign do? The sign revealed what? Two things. First of all, my need, that I got a problem. And second of all, it might reveal wrath. What do you mean wrath, George? Well, I just drive by here, and all of a sudden, as I'm driving at 35, I notice out of the corner of my eye, there's the Kerwinsville police, who then puts on his lights, who then gives me a ticket of wrath. You see the point? You can't justify yourself by the law because none of us, what, can keep it. In fact, the Scriptures tell us that if we disobey the law in one point, we have disobeyed it in all points. All points. So here's what it's saying then. I'm not justified by my works. I'm not justified by my religious actions. I'm not even justified by my keeping the law because I can't. We're probably saying, well, George, seems like we're back at the same place again. Seems like we're back where we were a few weeks ago where we recognize that everybody's headed to hell. What can I do? Let me give you three things to think about. Number one, are you trying to justify yourself to God? Are you? Remember the illustration I gave you from Johnny Cash's album, American Recordings, where he had two dogs, one white dog with a black streak and one black dog with a white streak. And when he was asked about those dogs, he said basically that those dogs' names were Sin and Redemption. And what he said was, is when he was good, he was never good enough. There was always something bad in him. And when he was bad, he was never bad enough because there was always something good. Are you trying to justify yourself? That is, you know that maybe you're not doing right in one area, but when you look at your life, you say, well, I know I'm not doing right here, God, but
I'm doing okay over here. I was in church. I helped that little old lady with her cart at Walmart. Are you trying to justify yourself? Excusing stuff in this area of your life by saying, I'm doing okay in this area of your life. Are you trying to justify yourself? Are you? I mean, are you saying to God right now, I did show up. I showed up today, didn't I, Lord? Everybody else didn't, but I was here. Here's the next point. You cannot justify yourself. See, that's what we just seen with these three different things. It doesn't matter whether you try to do it by works, whether you try to do it by your religious acts, whether you try to do it by keeping the law. You can't justify yourself. Look, there's something in the Scripture that I think you need to realize is that the Bible says in Philippians, Paul tells us that God exalts Christ to the place that in chapter 2 he says that where every knee will bow. One day when we stand before God, we are not going to be standing up proud. We're going to be on our knees because we have nothing. Nothing can justify us. And we'll acknowledge that He's Lord. We'll acknowledge that He's Lord. You can't justify yourself. There's nothing you can do. Don't even try. Don't even try. And can I be honest with you? We live in a culture that tells you to try, don't we? We live in a culture that tells you that if you've done something wrong, don't worry about it, somebody else's fault, you just justify yourself.
It was my mama, it was my daddy, it was my coach, it was my teacher, it was that preacher, it was that police officer.
It was everybody else but you, and so we seek to justify. Well, this is the culture we live in. But my friends, that may be the culture you live in, but that's not reality when it comes to your relationship with God. You cannot justify yourself. You can't.
Finally, this. You are only justified by faith in Jesus.
See, notice what he says here. Throughout this passage, he would say things like this. For what does the Scripture say? Verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was what? Accounted to him as righteousness.
It was faith. Faith.
Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith. My friends, you are counted righteous. You are justified. And we're going to look at this more in depth next week. You are justified because of your faith in Jesus. Not because of you. Not because of you.
Thank you for being with us this morning. And we trust that today's message has been both challenging and an encouragement to your heart. At Kerwinsville Christian Church, a warm welcome is always extended to you. We're located at 700 State Street, Kerwinsville, Pennsylvania. For more information about our ministry, please visit us on the web at www.kerwinsvillechristian.org. Now, on behalf of George Cannon and the entire church family, we hope that you will look to the Heavenly Father in all that you face this coming week.